Welcome to our podcast,
Band BFFs,
the podcast where we make your music selection less complicated.
On today's episode, we're going to be discussing Arc of Triumph by Johnny Vinson. Cheers to starting the conversation.
This is a great march. This is a French style march, so it is meant to be more stately in nature. It's in 2-4 throughout. It's about 2 minutes long, but it goes through two key changes. So it starts in the key of E flat, modulates to B flat, and then ends in the key of F. It is a great piece for teaching a French style march, but you do have to have a pretty strong band to play this. There is lots of articulation in this. Split clarinet parts, split alto, split trumpet, and the trombone and euphonium parts are not doubled.
Right.
Traditional percussion, traditional march percussion in this.
So starts off in the key of E flat, like Laura said, and in 2-4, it's at 100 on the metronome the whole time. So very stately. We start out with just trumpets, 1 and a 2 and 1 and a 2 and 1 and a 2 and 1. And when they have their long note on 1, lows come in with 1 and 2 and 1. So the horns and the trombones add in on measure 2, and then the upper woodwinds and the altos add in on measure 3. So as we're doing this little fanfare opening, you're adding more voices.
It's getting thicker.
It's getting thicker, mm-hmm. And everybody's got to articulate right together. That we're not changing notes, but just doing deet, 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 deet,
And the way that Katie just sang that, like, I'm really big with our ensembles on vocalizing things. So I think exactly like that, vocalizing the articulation. Everybody say, D, 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 D. Make them say it before they play it. Put it just on a concert F so you align the rhythm and the articulation and then gradually go to the notes.
Then at measure five, it's the same thing. Trumpets do it again. More people add in, more people add in. It's just up a step higher than it was before. Then at nine, the flute, oboe, clarinet, and trumpet all have the melody. And then horn and oboe and trombone have the harmony, as well as clarinet two and three. So we have this little stately melody that goes on for a while. One and a two and one and two. One, a two, and one, and two. Two. One, a two, and one, and two. One. So you really have to have a group that can articulate clearly. Everything is marked staccato, except for the beat twos have a tenuto on them, and they lead into the next measure.
And that's a big thing, right? Because yeah. Younger groups are going to want to clip that. They're going to go one and a two and one and two, one, a two, and it has to be. I mean, he's intentionally marked them tenuto.
Yep.
So working that entire musical phrase together to make them feel where they're going to take a breath, and they can't take a breath until the rest at the end. It ends up feeling like a six measure phrase, but it's in 2/4. It's right. Easy for them to have enough air to last that long.
Right. Lows underneath have one, long, short. So their rhythm is not too terribly difficult, except for, again, the trombone, which is its own separate. It's almost like functioning like a horn.
That's right. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And then we have a new idea at 17.
So right here at 17, then the melody is in the upper woodwinds and the trumpet, one, two, a one, two, one, and two. Everything is marked staccato. Almost everything is marked staccato in this section. So I think with the accompaniment, all of the accompaniment, one of the things I like about this is that you don't have any weird upbeat stuff going on. So all of the motor people are playing on the downbeat, but they have to be playing not where they're closing their throats off, keeping everything nice and resonant. Ta, ta, ta. Ta, we talk about making sure that our notes end with an A-H sound. Like, nothing should end with a hard consonant sound. It ends with a vowel sound like an A-H. Ah, 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 so they're not closing their throat off. Otherwise, it sounds really immature.
Yeah. So the melody keeps going with those same people. They have an eighth note, 16th rest, 16th note rhythm. One, two, a one. So you have to make sure that you really work to align that so that everybody lines up. That's a lot. And then they continue to have the dotted 8/16th rhythms. We have our first actual moving 16th notes. One, a two, e, and a one. And it's a scale, but it's articulated.
Ta, yeah, ta, ta, ta,
ta, ta, ta, ta, ta. Yeah. So when you it, leave the slur out, just tongue it. And then later on, you can add that slur back in once they actually get it.
And what students are going to want to do, because you have a the notes ta, 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 they change. I found that a lot of students wanted to repeat the same note on the 16th notes. Ta, 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 ta. So just make it like we spent time on just that, going G, F, E flat. G, F, E flat, G, F, E flat. So making sure that they get really comfortable with that. And then just, you know, tongue and fingers, making sure that they're moving together.
Yep. So they finish out with a long note and the lows get like a little bit of a response, or the mid voices, one, two, and a one. So kind of like a little fanfare.
Very stately.
And yep. Then at 25, the same melody comes back again. We still have the same accompaniment.
They have these cute little grace notes in there too, which are great. Oh, leave the grace notes out at the beginning. You know, I tell the kids that the grace notes are like ornaments on a Christmas tree. You have to put the tree up first before you put the ornaments on. So build your tree and then we can decorate it later.
Yep. Then the whole band has a big beat too, going into 33 with an accent, just lead, like normal, like a march. And now we've changed key to concert B flat. And again, we're going to get softer, but we're doing one, two, one, two. Then the melody picks back up again. Same people. One, a two, a one, and two, and one, and sorry, one, and two, a two, and one, and a two. So it gets a bit more rhythmic here.
And it goes into like a little minor mode right here. So it, you know, the tonality changes. The melody is different rhythm and sounds a little different, but the accompaniment is still just nice little quarter note, or not quarter note, it's written as eighth note followed by eighth rest.
Right.
But, you know, it's just nice downbeat accompaniment. So again, you're continuing that same idea, that same concept without clipping the notes short, but making sure that all of your melody people are really comfortable moving together and articulating clearly.
Yeah, so this part's a little bit trickier rhythmically too. It goes, there's some ties in here. One, a two, and one, and a two,
and two,
and they should cut off the first note in 40 and take a breath there so that it lines up together, and they come back in on and of one, and two, and one, a two, and one. So it's a little bit more in depth. Got to have a pretty good ensemble, like we've already mentioned.
And then, like, looking at all of the parts here, you know, the clarinet part is, there's three clarinet parts, two alto parts, two trumpet parts. All of the clarinet parts are playing different notes here. So it does, like, you know, as you're working that in sectionals, I would work the rhythm on a concert F first and then have them put it on their notes. Your second clarinets are crossing the break. Of course, your first clarinets are. Your second clarinets are crossing the break. So just making sure that the technique of all of that is really clean and that it sounds chordal like it should with these split parts. That can be a little trickier.
At 42, this is like at the end of their melody going into 43, the lows get a cute little response. One, a two, and one. So that just aligning that, that's the first time they've had to like move a little quicker. And then 43, it's the same little melody part.
Yeah, the same part again. Now, you'll notice that there are places where Johnny Vinson writes a dotted 8/16th, and then there are places where he writes an eighth note, a 16th rest, and a 16th note. So, like, we've made a really big deal. We are currently playing this with our non-varsity band. We've made a big deal out of the difference between those two things. He made it a point to write them differently, so we need to make it a point to perform them differently for your vibrato instruments like altos and oboes and flutes, we're making sure when it's written as a dotted 8/16 that we're putting a little vibrato wiggle to make sure we don't clip it too short. There should be space between the dotted 8/16, but when they put one vibrato wiggle, da, 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 that helps keep it from sounding like da, 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 da. Just add one little vibrato wiggle, and that will give it the resonance and the fuller body sound that you want it to have, and being intentional about making it different from the other rhythm.
So this kind of continues on, and then we get a new section going into 51, where the upper people get the melody still, but it's just a different rhythm now. Lows are still playing pretty much the same thing, except instead of just 1-2-1-2, now we're 1-2-1-2-1, like Laura just mentioned, making it be a little bit different.
In this section, one of the things that I have found were like leading right before 51, and then this happens again at 51. We have these moments where we go, high, low, 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 high, low, low, low. It's real easy for the kids to smack that high note. Da, 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 da. Da, 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 and we don't want the high note to jump out. Same thing when we're at 51. This melody that we have, one and one, a two and one, tight, and a two and one, a two, and a two and one, a two. That part right there, they're going to want to one, a two, and a two and one, a two. So just really making sure that it fits in the musical phrase. And it's, again, in this part written as a dotted 8/16, not with the 16th rest. So throw that little vibrato wiggle on there to help it sound more mature.
The percussion is also just continuing to do downbeat type things. Snare will add in like a drag whenever the, like sometimes when the woodwinds had the grace notes, but it's still very stately. Got little cymbal crashes. They're helping us keep the beat. Timpani playing on the downbeats as well. Same thing where we've got at 59, the same little melody, but now it changes just a tad at 63, where it goes one and a one and a one. Two key change.
Here's our second key
change.
Yep.
So it's getting a little bit more challenging just the further in that you get. Lows change to half notes here and then regular quarter notes as we're transitioning to this key change. And then once we've hit key of concert F, we go back to just the downbeats in the low brass.
The same type of idea.
Yep.
So, this is more the melody that we had at the beginning. One, two, a one, two, a one, and two. So it's major tonality and the same type of melody we had at the beginning, but now instead of in the key of E flat, we're in the key of F.
Right.
So everything up a step.
Yep.
You have the same stylistic considerations and the same technical considerations like Katie talked about earlier, the 16th notes moving the tongue and fingers at the same time.
Yeah, and like clarinets are all doing like G, A, B, C in 16ths, ta da ta ta ta.
Yep.
So just making sure that you know your kiddos are getting that to lay pretty easily. At 75, same thing, they're continuing the melody on. And then at 83, the lows get to have their important part and they get 2-1. Two and one, two, one, two and one. So it's kind of like a typical like dogfight type section.
Yes.
All the part Laura was just singing is in 70% of the band.
That's right.
So you have to make sure that it's really quiet and articulate and light. And that you can hear all the different chord sounds.
That's
in
exactly
the chord.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and we spend time on just that. Okay, the accompaniment part, I don't want you to play your rhythm. I only want you to play the note that you have and sustain it. So we balance with that chord tone and they get it in their ear. Sometimes when they see really rhythmic parts like this, kids just automatically think tongue, right? And they stop thinking about tone. So we want to make sure that they hear the tonality of what the chord tone is supposed to be. Then add in that articulation. And if not all of your kids, because this happens in the horn, it happens in tenor sax, it happens in several parts. If they cannot all articulate the 16th notes cleanly, they don't all need to play the
right.
16th notes.
Right, absolutely. They could just play
rest,
two and one.
Yeah, that's no problem.
Two and one, or just leave this part out and like make it be a cute little mini band feature where only two on a part play or something like that.
Yes, yeah. because so many people in the ensemble have this part, it can be overbearing almost sound, you know, psycho. Just like a little, just overwhelming.
Yeah. So the low brass continue on their feature for quite a while. Then the whole group comes together at 94. One and two and one, a two. The entire group has that except for the bass line, tuba, bass, clarinet, barry, sax. So everybody has to do one, a two, two, one, two, one. And that's the end of the piece. So it ends kind of with like the low brass being featured, which is pretty cute.
This is such a great march. It has a lot of good teaching opportunities, but you definitely want to make sure that your ensemble is a little more mature because of the technical and articulation considerations that it requires. But such
it's
a great
good
march.
Little stately march for sure. Yeah. Well, we hope that you will consider programming Arc of Triumph in the future. And thank you for joining us on this episode of
Band BFFs.